And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Folks, we are getting closer and closer with each passing day to Christmas Day. And I'm sure you've heard that the Washington Post put out a little tweet from one of their reporters saying, Merry Impeachmas. Yeah, Merry Impeachmas. So not only denigrating Christmas, but celebrating the impeachment of President Trump. Oh, these are journalists, though. They're objective. No. They're not biased at all. Oh, you misunderstood that? Oh, no. They're not celebrating impeachment. Oh, no. That's not what they meant at all. They were just saying that, you know, their holidays are taken up with all of this hard reporting on big doings in Washington, D.C., and they were just sort of making a joke about the fact that that's what's taking up their holiday season. They were in no way suggesting that they are glad that President Trump is being impeached. And once again, if you buy that, I've got a great big old bridge in Brooklyn. I have got the title to it right here. I'm happy to send it to you. Just send me a couple million bucks and you can have it really cheap. You know what I mean? If they expect people to believe that, well, folks, I tell you, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Save our beloved country in the meantime, because we've got a bunch of people in Washington who have lost their minds. They have really just lost their minds. I don't know whether you all caught this little, just a sort of a brief confrontation between Jerry Nadler and Louie Gohmert. And Louie Gohmert had made a comment about the fact that we needed to get to the bottom of any Ukrainian attempts to interfere in the elections. And Jerry Nadler says, I can't believe that a member of Congress is actually giving Russian propaganda on the floor of the United States Congress. Well, you could hear in the background not what Louie Gohmert was saying, but you could hear his voice raised, not anywhere near a microphone so it could be heard, but you could hear his voice raised in the background, clearly protesting. In effect, Jerry Nadler calling Louie Gohmert a shill, a spy, an asset for the Russian government, doing the Russian government's bidding, the same thing they've accused the president of doing. And I tell you something, folks, not that I'm a close friend of Louie Gohmert's, but I do know him. I've met him, talked to him many times. We've been in a lot of the same events together, and Louie Gohmert's a patriot. Louie Gohmert is a Christian. Louie Gohmert loves God and loves this country. And I tell you something, I thought about that. You know, when you start accusing people who are patriots, who would die for this country, of in effect betraying this nation and serving the interests of some other country to the subversion of our own, folks, you are really getting dangerously close to fighting words. I'm serious. You really are. You are getting dangerously close to fighting words. Because I can't think of anything that is more insulting and more dishonoring than to accuse someone who really would do anything for America of betraying his country. And as I've pointed out before, Ukraine is one of the most, has been, and maybe Zelensky will clean it up. We hope he will. But it has been one of the most corrupt nations on the face of the earth. And much of that corruption has been fueled by our own tax dollars that don't go where, in foreign aid, that don't go where they're supposed to go. And there were some discussions that were held. We have record of those discussions that were held about how they were going to interfere with the upcoming election. Because after all, they've been a corrupt culture. Why would that surprise us? Any country, frankly, China's done the same thing, and they're still doing it. And I'm going to talk to you next week. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, maybe I'll do some of it tomorrow. Because I think next week we're all going to be focused on Christmas probably. And you're going to be hearing some good programming next week, but I don't know you know, I don't know how much I'm going to be here. But there is a lot of corruption going on and selling out going on among these Democrats, and they've got the nerve to point the finger at someone else and call him in effect a traitor to his country. And I could tell Louis Gohmert was upset. I mean, he was upset. And folks, I tell you, we really need to pray about this whole situation, because it always strikes me that these Democrats are trying to trigger some kind of violent reaction. So conservatives really have to keep their cool in spite of the horrible insults hurled at us. But I'll tell you something, folks. These are the kinds of things that Andrew Jackson would have resolved in a duel. These are the kinds of things that would have been resolved with violence in a past era. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not endorsing resolving these matters with violence. I'm acknowledging the human impulse to defend oneself against the most egregious kinds of insults that go right to the heart of your character. And that's exactly what they're throwing out. They've been throwing that out at President Trump from the very beginning, and he has handled it exceedingly well. I mean, he's fought back. But folks, this stuff is just completely out of hand. Now, you probably know, don't you? Oh, and by the way, I've got a guest coming up in the next segment. Oh, I better not get too deep into this, because I've got a guest coming up in the next segment that's going to talk about this book that we've discussed on the program before, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, which is one of the most abominable books that's ever been written and has done perhaps as great a disservice to this country as any piece of literature you could think of. And you'll find out more about that, because we're going to have Mary Graybar, and she's written a book called Debunking Howard Zinn. We're going to talk a little bit about why that is so important in our culture today. So stand by for that. Don't want to forget that. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi is now saying she refuses to send the articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate. So now they just sit there. The Democrats have passed articles of impeachment, and now they just sit there. And this is unconstitutional. It is immoral. And she's doing it simply so that they can hold this over the president's head. You see, they know that there's no there there. They know that the Senate is going to dismiss the thing out of hand. But that's not, they don't care about that. They don't care about the facts. They don't care about, and again, they have the nerve to accuse the Senate of being partisan. These people have an unmitigated maul, unmitigated gall that is unreal. It really is. They've got the nerve to accuse the U.S. Senate Republicans of being partisan, because they're going to dismiss the impeachment charges, the articles, should they ever arrive at the U.S. Senate. Yeah, folks, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Wow. Well, look, stand by. We've got Mary Graybar coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The news from the last few weeks of impeachment inquiry and the Inspector General's report both raise an important question. Who will guard the guardians? That was a question first asked by a Roman poet, and it is relevant today. James Madison makes a similar statement in Federalist Paper No. 51. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Our government leaders are supposed to control the governed, but who is controlling them? Of course, we have checks and balances, but government works much better when we have moral people, and many of our government leaders have failed us. We discover that an FBI lawyer altered an email in order to make it easier for the FBI to obtain a FISA warrant to spy on a Trump campaign official. We are informed that there were 17 failures, or significant inaccuracies, in securing that warrant, and that evidence that would have prevented the warrant was withheld. A former FBI director was fired in part because he leaked his own memos of private and confidential conversations with the president. And recently, I interviewed the head of a conservative organization that discovered that someone at the IRS listed them as closing down, thus harming their ability to raise funds. It reminded me of how the IRS in the past was found to be targeting any group that had the words Tea Party in their title. All this was supposed to be merely a clerical error. But as I've said in a past column, that explanation would be easier to accept if we could ever see that it happened to a progressive group. The question from two millennia is still relevant today. Who will guard the guardians? I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Donald Trump has been impeached despite not being credibly accused of a single crime. There's some talk Nancy Pelosi may not even send the impeachment articles to the Senate so they can't hold a trial. If they do send them, Mitch McConnell may dismiss the charges against the president as soon as he gets them. We'll discuss that and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, my guest is Mary Graybar. She's the author of Debunking Howard Zinn, exposing the fake history that turned a generation against America. Now, Mary Graybar was born in Slovenia when she was still part of when it was still part of a communist Yugoslavia. She grew up in Rochester, New York, earned a PhD in English from the University of Georgia, taught at a number of colleges and universities in Georgia until 2013. Her book is one of the most important books, I believe, that's ever been written on the social circumstance that we face today, because I believe this book that she's debunking has been one of the driving forces to turn people against America, against our Constitution, against our way of life. I think it in part explains why half the millennials think we'll be better off with a socialist system. Mary, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really glad to have you on the program.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Mary, let's jump right into this. First of all, why did you feel you needed to write Debunking Howard Zinn?
Well, he is one of the biggest sort of culprits in the corruption of education, which has led to young people having a very jaundiced view of our country, a very distorted view of our country. And his book, A People's History of the United States, if you have any respect for this country and you start reading it, after the first page or so, you want to just throw the book down in disgust. And, you know, I learned that the book is assigned in high school classes. There's a young people's version for middle school students. There's the Zen Education Project, which is a nonprofit that produces materials for teachers to download for free. There are spin-off books. And so this is infecting young people when they're the most vulnerable, when they don't have the knowledge to sort of counteract his lies. And they are, you know, soft-hearted. And so his history is just a litany of oppression and evil that was done, you know, beginning with Columbus. And it's false. It's all false. And so I felt that there needed to be something out there for the student or the general reader to pick up and, you know, see a way to address Zinn's lies. And to also have a book that is adequately documented. I have almost 1,000 footnotes in it, and I've done an incredible amount of research, primary research, looking at historians, what they had to say on the, both the right and the left. So I want it to be a tool and a resource and also a glimpse into the real history of the United States for people to have.
Now, Howard Zinn was a communist, correct? I mean, that's his orientation. He comes from, he's a creature of the far left, correct?
Absolutely. He was born in 1922. So in the 1930s, when he was a teenager living in Brooklyn, he was the son of Russian Jewish immigrant parents who never really, you know, got to a financial, you know, level that, you know, most people aspire to. So Howard Zinn's a teenager in Brooklyn, and that was the epicenter of communist recruitment. So he got roped in the 30s as a teenager, and he writes about it in his autobiography. You know, he felt that the communists had the solution to the problems in the United States. Of course, that was during the Great Depression. And there is an FBI file that's over 400 pages long that shows numerous former members of the Communist Party testifying that they saw him at weekly meetings several times a week, and he was teaching Marxism at the Communist Party headquarters. And so there is excellent evidence that from 1948 to 1953, he was an official member of the Communist Party, and I based that not only on my own reading of his FBI file, but of the analysis by Ron Radosh, who himself was once briefly a member of the Communist Party and who is a very well-respected historian who specializes in the communist influence. So Howard Zinn was a member. But in his book and throughout his writings and his teachings for his entire life, he was promoting communism. He was promoting communism and socialism as the method by which we could overcome the horrible injustices of this country as he presented them.
Now, Mary, as a guy who has been a communist and of course, we know that Americans, generally speaking, abhor the very idea of communism. We know what it means. I mean, you get a visceral reaction from most people, or certainly from baby boomers who understand what it is. How does a guy who's with that background end up with one of the best-selling, quote-unquote, history books, if you want to call it that? Because this book has gotten very, very widespread distribution, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's sold almost 3 million copies. Yeah.
and
how does it get to be so popular?
Yeah.
Well, he wrote it right at the right time. So by the late 1960s, academia was changing. All the, you know, Vietnam War protesters, people of the New Left, got into academia. They had earned their graduate degrees, and they were, you know, tenured radicals, as Roger Kimball calls them. And they were changing the writing of history so that the historians didn't strive to be objective and, you know, look at, you know, the past neutrally and, you know, look at all the evidence very carefully, but they became activists. And Howard Zinn's book was published in 1980, and so already the pattern had been set. Howard Zinn ramps it up. He really just, you know, infuses his book with more outrageous claims, and all towards the idea that only a socialist revolution, a violent revolution that overthrows the government, will cure this country of its many, many ills as he presents them in his lies. And so he's there right at the right moment, and he has a knack for appealing to people's emotions and, you know, uses rhetoric to his own effect. So I think that there was a confluence of that. There was, you know, a willingness to accept a leftist distorted version of American history. And he was also already quite a well-known figure. He was in the news because he was always butting heads with the college president at Boston University, John Silber. Howard Zinn and Father Ellsberg had brought back three American POWs from Vietnam, you know, as a publicity stunt, as a propaganda effort on behalf of the communist North Vietnamese. So he had a following by the time his book came out, and that always helps an author, of course, as you may know.
Now, this book is in many classrooms. I'll tell a story when we come back from this break that we've got coming up in a couple minutes. But it's in many classrooms across the country now, and it is part of the explanation, isn't it, of why our young people seem to have such resentment against their own country and are so enamored of these far-left ideologies like communism and socialism.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to be speaking in Portland, Oregon on January 22nd. And in Portland, all eighth graders in the public schools are using a Young People's History of the United States. Now, if you want to know why Portland is the epicenter of Antifa, I think we could see a connection.
Wow. And so at that tender age, young, unformed in their views, they're going to get indoctrinated with Howard Zinn's history of the United States. And, you know, I have been convinced of this, Mary. One of the problems that we have is, one of the problems that we have is that we don't know our history. But I came to realize, and you sort of helped me get there, that we have a bigger problem, which is the history we know is wrong. It's a lie. It's a narrative that is intended to separate us from our history and our past, that helps us to congeal as a nation, you know, and have some sort of sense of cultural unity, isn't it? I mean, his book is intended to undermine all of that.
Yeah, I mean, his book is intended to provoke a civil war and a revolution. I mean, that's how communists came into power in many, many countries, including my own. They start a civil war among the people, and Howard Zinn picks up that project, you know, that was started when the Communist Party implanted itself in the United States in 1919. He carries the torch forward. And he wants people to be at each other's throats. He wants, you know, women and men, black and white, young and old, to be arguing, fighting, accusing,
They want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Folks, my guest is Mary Graybar. She's the author of Debunking Howard Zinn. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One of the mistakes we make when we think of God is that we think of Him only in religious terms. We divorce God from the physical and material areas of life. Anyone who is willing to make a serious study will find God to be just as concerned with our physical and material needs as our spiritual needs. He's interested in the whole person. One of the Ten Commandments requires one day in seven as a day of rest. This is not only for religious purposes, but also for physical and health purposes. Physically, the body must have rest in order to function properly. Pity the poor person who never learns this. One of the secrets of Jesus' strength was that occasionally he managed to get away, to be alone. Each of us needs to get away sometimes, whether it be to the woods behind our house or to the country across the ocean. Remember that the carpenter once said, "Let's get away from the crowd for a while and rest." The modern-day pace of living is entirely too fast for us to try to keep pace with it all. We must learn to live in a fast-moving world without killing ourselves trying to keep up with it. We can overextend ourselves. We must learn to make the proper choices and to say no to some things which beckon us. We can take on too much, become too involved in too many things. A mother once told me how much time she spent just taking her children to and from their activities. It was something like 3 hours a day. She was exhausting herself trying to keep up with everything and everyone. The secret to a healthy life is balance. We need to learn to work hard and rest easy. Remember that you can overdo anything, working and resting. Try to learn the proper balance and maintain that level. But let me say it once again. Occasionally, we need to get away for a while. A person needs some time to rest, to think, to get his perspective straight in this fast-moving world. You know, I remember a meeting in which I was listening to another preacher, and he said rather boastfully on the subject of vacations that he had not had a vacation in 20 years. Well, another minister leaned over and whispered into my ear, "Yes, and the people who have to listen to him can tell it." A time apart can be anything which breaks the routine, a vacation, special trips, a refresher course in school, even a hobby. I like to go fishing when I can, which is not very often. Even if I don't catch a thing, at least I can lean back and sleep while I wait for the fish to bite. It helps my soul catch up with my system. Everyone needs a hobby. Then when things get to be too much, the pace gets to moving too fast, you can turn to your hobby and rest your mind for a while. I've found that my hobbies, few as they are, have been a part of my physical and mental salvation. Divide the word recreation into two parts, and you get recreation. Recreation is a time to recreate, to renew. Why drive yourself to the breaking point, which is bad for you and a burden on others? Let's get away for a while and rest. Don't ignore this important part of life.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, my guest, my guest is Dr. Mary Graybar, and we're talking about her book, Debunking Howard Zinn. Mary, one of the quotes that you sent me to help me prep for this interview, you talked about something that I've also brought up, which is this southern border problem we're having is more than about trying to be compassionate with people who are trying to come to our country, that it really is about people who believe that the southern border is not legitimate. And you say that Zinn claims that the entire Southwest is ill-gotten, and you liken it to this Antifa chant, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all. So he really basically is trying to delegitimize the country, isn't he?
Yeah, he says, you know, that it's all a fiction, that this notion that we have a country, it's, you know, something that was made up. There is really no right to claim such an existence. You know, the Southwest was stolen from Mexico. He does, you know, like every good communist, he doesn't believe in national borders, or he believes in an international order of communism. And so the Antifa people who are, you know, opposed to, you know, any kind of restrictions at the border have adopted that view. It's the exact same view that Howard Zinn promotes in his book, and that has become accepted. So, yeah, you know, it would be very interesting to sort of take a survey of all those people in Antifa and protesting, you know, about the border, and see how many of them had been exposed to Zinn, you know, in school or on their own, and, you know, have adopted his views to justify their opposition to any kind of legal restrictions on immigration.
Right. And the nobility of this country, the contribution to our understanding of freedom and the inherent rights of human beings that we have spread really around the world. None of that matters because we're just a terrible, terrible place. And this is what Howard Zinn is promoting to our young people. Now, look, you're doing some things to offset this. Your book is an important part of that because his materials are going out, you said, to about 100,000 teachers around the country?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
They're getting regular downloads of Howard Zinn propaganda. No wonder our schools are in such a mess.
Yeah, you know, they just did a fundraiser, the Zinn Education Project did, and they announced that they had reached the 100,000 goal of teachers signing up to download their products. You know, they're doing fundraising. They've got some dark money behind them funding all this stuff. Some very rich people. They claim it's all a grassroots effort that, you know, people want their want children to learn the real history. You know, that is really false. I mean, most of the money is coming from you know, dark money sources, and it's all part of an effort to undermine this entire country.
Yeah, how can we fight back against this, Mary? Here again, your book is part of that. I know you're doing, you said, I think you've got some activities being built around your visit to Oregon. How can the our listeners right now who are profoundly concerned about this stuff and see it, but may not know how exactly to combat it? What's the best thing that people can do?
Well, you know, obviously I want them to buy and read my book.
Right.
I think, you know, there have been many people who have been very frustrated and angry about Howard Zinn's lies, but no one has gone through his book systematically and refuted it point by point. I mean, you know, there are still other things that, you know, one could find in his book, but I've tried to go over the major ones. And so rather than just attacking it as an America-hating book, I wanted to provide a resource where there is a rebuttal of the facts. The facts are wrong. I've gone to other history books. I've gone to the Library of Congress, Martin Luther King Jr. Center, New York University, Emory University, and I've done the research to show on a factual basis his book is wrong. And I'm hoping, you know, there has been legislation introduced at the state level in Arkansas to get his book out. I'm hoping that with this weapon to show that his book is distorted, we can at least get it out of the public schools.
Did you say they're trying to
a good way to approach that.
Mary, hold on. Did you say they're trying to introduce his book in Arkansas?
It is used in Arkansas, but there was a state legislator in 2017 who introduced a bill that would prohibit the use of Zinn's book in the public schools. Wow. That never got anywhere. And, of course, the Zinn Education Project jumped into action with their lobbying campaign and all their money, and they started sending Zinn's book to the teachers. So actually, after it, that whole campaign, more teachers had access to his book. But at the time, I don't think that Representative Hendren, which was his name, had enough to sort of say, mm-hmm. here is why this book should not be a textbook. I mean, you wouldn't use a book that denies the Holocaust or, say, presents slaves as, just indentured servants. Mm-hmm. Those books are kept out of the classroom.
Because so they're factually incorrect, right? They're not
correct.
Truthful.
That's right. And so I'm hoping that we can get some traction that way. We also have a book drive for a tax-deductible contribution of $25. People can get one of my books sent to one of the schools or libraries in Portland. So at least students have, something else. If they're curious, they can pick it up and say, I wonder about this fact in Zinn's book. Let's check it out. So we're hoping to at least have that because, the librarians and the school administrators are reluctant to, get my book. But if we can say, gift it to them, now put it in the schools, at least let the kids have, access to an alternative perspective.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would think they would be reluctant to get Howard Zinn's book, which is not really history at all. It's a polemic against the United States. So look, where can people get your book and how can they participate in these efforts to get these books into the hands of teachers and others?
Well, I have a post on my website called dissidentprof.com. Dissident as in, Solzhenitsyn, and prof is short for professor, dissidentprof.com. Right on the front page is an article about this that gives the details. They can purchase the book from the Oregon Association of Scholars and send that in. They can get on my newsletter. I send out notices of when I'll be speaking, when I have things published over at Dissident Prof as well. They can also go to the Oregon Association of Scholars to do that. And I welcome people to send me an email. They can do that on my website as well. And to, stay in touch if they need information, if they want to lobby in their own schools, in their own school districts, to get this, malicious book of agitprop out, I would be, glad to discuss it with them.
Well, listen, Mary, I really appreciate you taking time with us because this is an important topic, and we're going to be following up with you and with our listeners to try to make sure that people know how to stop this garbage from getting into the minds of our kids. Thank you so much for joining us. Back in a moment.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
If you overparent and you cross boundaries and you try to be God to your son or a father to your son when you can't be, you push God out of the way.
You know, developing your son's faith and teaching him about biblical manhood can seem daunting, but Dr. Meg Meeker has this encouragement on Focus on the Family Minute.
So you talk about Christ as a man. You talk about how he behaved. You open scriptures and say, this is how Christ treated the woman at the well. This is how he treated Mary Magdalene. And this is how God feels towards women. And then you bring up scriptures where it's God the Father and what fatherhood looks like. And then you invite that son to allow that God the Father into his life. And you get very specific with him. But you back off and you be a good mom and your role ends there.
More from Dr. Meg Meeker today at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
So tell me, Trevor, how are you feeling?
Well, Doc, my mind is all over the place. I'm always stressed.
If I may ask, when is the last time you've attended church?
I haven't been to church in, 2 years, maybe.
In the One News Now article, Regular Church Attendance Boosts Mental Health, studies show that regular biblical teaching grounds us in a more stable state of mind and spirit. To read this article and more, visit onenewsnow.com.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, we've had a full program. We still have a segment. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've got open lines. I just had something very strange happen. During the break, I went online to check out dissidentprof.com. And I tried it 3 times. And you know what comes up when I try it? You see if it works for you. Forbidden. I'm serious, folks. I'm not joking. Forbidden. That's the word that comes up at the top of the page. Forbidden. You don't have permission to access this resource. Forbidden. Now, folks, that's a little strange, don't you think? That's a little strange. Forbidden. Excuse me? It's the United States of America. What do you mean, forbidden? You don't have permission to access this resource? Wow. Now, I'm not here again. You all know I'm not a conspiratorial thinker, but folks, I tell you, there's some strange stuff going on around here. When Nancy Pelosi's now got her little stupid articles of impeachment, so-called, but she doesn't want to deliver them to the Senate, so that they could just hang over the president's head. And you know, by the way, you know who they did this to? Former House Whip Tom DeLay. It's exactly the same thing. You had a bunch of leftist prosecutors went after him in 2005. They had the man had to resign from Congress. It took them 5 years to finally, 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, to finally prosecute him in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. So he was convicted in the most liberal part of Texas you can find, down in Austin. And the Supreme Court over, I'm sorry, not, I don't think he got the, it was the, I think it was the Texas Court of Appeals ultimately threw the conviction out twice. They appealed it. The Austin prosecutors appealed it. And they threw it out twice. He has been completely and totally exonerated from all wrongdoing. But they took a decade of the man's life and millions of dollars for him in order to defend himself. See, this is the game they play, folks. These people are not playing fair. They're not following the rules of fair play that most Americans agree with and live by. No. It is search and destroy. That's the name of their game. And they're trying to destroy this president. They tried to destroy Tom DeLay. And they did, practically destroyed his career. I mean, they certainly destroyed his political career. That was it. That was the end for it. only to later be exonerated. They did the same thing to Bob McDonald here in Virginia. Bob McDonald was accused here in Virginia, convicted here in Virginia, and that's the unanimous decision. The Supreme Court unanimously overturned his conviction. Unanimously, folks. Now, you know, that means liberals and conservatives looked at it and said, wait a minute. What? This guy didn't do anything wrong. What is this? They'll put him in jail. They wanted to give him 3 years. And the Supreme Court threw the case completely and totally out. See, these leftists don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. They don't care about us. They don't care about people. They don't care about destroying people. They don't have compassion. You know, we have compassion. Please, it's about power. And that's all it's about. And here again, forbidden? No, because you stupid people aren't smart enough to know what you should read. So we'll decide that for you. I mean, what else can I conclude? I go to the website, it comes forbidden. Excuse me? This is the United States of America. I don't have literature forbidden to me. Oh, boy. Let's try to get as many calls in here as we can, folks. I tell you, God help us. Wow. Let's go to Brad in Georgia. Brad, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I appreciate your show and all the great information you have on here, the great guests. I was listening earlier, and a couple of things kind of struck me was the lady you were interviewing said she was going to Portland, Oregon on January 22nd. My birthday is on the 22nd, and I have a brother that lives in Portland, Oregon, and he is far left communism. He's embraced it for as long as I can remember. And I've prayed for him over the years, tried to figure out how to reach him. But I think this book would be a great resource for myself for answers. And but also just listening to the coverage on the news about the impeachment trial, my mind kind of goes to the fact that most of these Democrats are and have been indoctrinated themselves in the communist ideology. And so, you know, it's no wonder why they're so much opposed to Trump and the Republican way. So, and I just appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Brad. You too. You're absolutely right, which is why isn't it strange that all of a sudden they're invoking the founding fathers, they're invoking this Constitution, the Declaration, when up until now they've been telling us that we make too much of all of that. Now all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of, forgive the expression, but they're kind of born again patriots now. It is something to watch, and it is so, frankly, it's just disgusting to see it, because you know that there's not an ounce of sincerity in it. They're using it to try to legitimize something that is inherently illegitimate. It's just that plain and simple. But thanks for the call, Brad. We appreciate it. And man, but January 22nd, you got a brother in Portland, Oregon. I could almost see that as a sign there, Brad. So by all means, we'll be praying for maybe this book will really help him and begin to open his eyes. So God bless you. Let's go to Grace in Texas. Grace, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for the ministry. You're a blessing. I appreciate you. I appreciate the station.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, I turned it on a little bit late and didn't get the information as far as the website plus her name and the name of the book. I know that you said that it's saying on the website when you pulled it up for Bowdoin, and that just reminds me of Hitler, and it reminds me of Germany.
Yeah, how about that? Verboten. That's right. That's really strange. Her name is Mary Graybar, G-R-A-B-A-R, and the book is entitled Debunking Howard Zinn. Debunking Howard Zinn. I think 100,000 teachers across America are downloading this stuff for lessons to their students. I mean, that's chilling. It really is. But that's the information, Grace. Dr. Mary Graybar, G-A-R-G-R-A-B-A-R, and the book is entitled Debunking Howard Zinn. All right, Mary, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Brian in Arkansas. Yeah, and Brian, I want to talk to you because when she said that Arkansas has Howard Zinn in their curriculum. I guess some of the school systems do. I'm thinking Arkansas is a pretty conservative state, and they've got Howard Zinn. So, but welcome, Brian. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. Yeah, it was kind of news to me as well. So two things real quick. Just telling the call screener, I didn't even think about kids don't bring school books home anymore. And so what a fantastic way for them to have full control. They're at school and we not know at home what's going on. And if anybody else has got a typical teenager like I do that only wants to talk every once in a while, we don't know what all they're learning and being indoctrinated with. But anyway, I got a question for you. So you're Marine Corps.
Yes.
Job, and, you know, you took an oath to defend this nation from enemies, both foreign and domestic. So my question for you would be, and I know you can't give details and you probably won't speak to this as clearly as maybe you would like to, but when does the American people and, I guess, patriots, if you will, take a physical stand, not just a vote, because we realize our votes really, they don't count anymore. I mean, we send these guys up there, gals, they tell us one thing, they get up there, they do something else. If they impeach our president, who we duly elected, is that then the time that we storm the gate, so to speak, Alex?
Okay, all right, Brian, I appreciate the call. I think it's a fair question. It really is, because I think I shared with you all a poll indicating that a significant number of Americans now, a majority, I believe, think that we may be within 5 years, I think the poll said. Within 5 years of a civil war in this country. Now, I've spoken to this repeatedly because, obviously, I love this country, and I know you all do, too, and we don't want to see our country torn apart by violence. The question that is being asked is, okay, well, at what point does that become justifiable? You know, I don't know. I'm being very honest. I don't know. I think you know it when you see it. But I think there's got to be at that point. I mean, right now, say, for example, right now, well, clearly, nobody needs to resort to violence in this situation. We've got a president of the United States who is on the side of the American people. He's trying to adhere to the Constitution. He's protecting our First, our Second Amendment rights, the Bill of Rights. He's trying to do good things for this country. We don't need violence. I mean, what we need to do is make sure that people like him keep getting elected. And I'm not talking about party here now. I'm talking about people with the same ideas, people with the same convictions. It just so happens that one party doesn't seem to share any of those convictions at all these days. But, you know, that changes, right? I mean, parties, platforms, all of that can change. But the principles don't change. So we've got to keep electing people like that. I think we've got to register. We've got to vote. And I'll tell you something. It was like, for example, here in Virginia, somebody said to me, well, they're about to take away your gun rights. And don't you think we ought to take up arms? I say, no. Well, why not? Because the first arm you need to take up is get your arm up to go vote. And until people are doing that, until they are registering and voting, and we, you know, maybe you could make an argument that the election process has been stopped or like this sign I just read, we're bidden. We need to do those basic things that are provided for us in our Constitution and as part of a free people before we even begin to think about the possibility of violence erupting in the country. And you know what? It's not going to happen anyway because God's going to give us an awakening. How do you know that, Bishop? Because so many of us have been asking for it. So, folks, thank you all for your calls and thanks for your prayers and support. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.